Não?
So the scripture today, Mark read, is about a great storm at sea. And so, entitled today's message, Your Very Own Storm. And the text will just be a couple of the verses that we read. A great windstorm arose, verse 37, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Let's pray. Father, by the power of your Spirit, open our hearts to receive these words. And as we converse with you in our spirit, Lord, sometimes through the power or the enablement of the word preached, but at all times hearing you in an inner conversation, glorify the name of Jesus, fit us for discipleship, fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know there's not a storm cloud in the sky, and we probably ought to be out there looking for the little, like scripture says, like Elijah, the little cloud smaller than the size of a fist. But that's another sermon for another day. I want to talk to you about storms. We're going to be thinking about storms. We're going to be looking for identifying storms. You know, I'm beginning to believe certain storms are allowed to form on purpose. And I believe I can develop that thought and that belief for myself further in this message today. And I hope maybe a couple of you will too. I'm not ashamed, and I have been saying over and over again, different references, letting you know that I'm watching, Joy and I are watching The Chosen, streaming a fictional story, providing background, imaginings of the lives of the disciples as they followed Jesus. And for me, it's been a wonderful supplemental aid, as I have someone with some imagination has gone into each life there and thought, imagine what their personal lives and the events of their daily lives might have been during that time, and how they interacted with the others as well. This past Thursday night was no different, and the scene was with Peter walking to the market with Thomas. You remember Thomas is doubting Thomas, and the last several episodes have been all about showing why Thomas might be such a doubter. And we would get some, human reasons why Thomas might be a little reluctant to believe fully in Jesus. But in this conversation, Peter and Thomas are on a mission to buy some soap. And at one point, Peter confronts Thomas over his grief at a loss, serious loss. And Thomas kind of comes back at him in a minute with, well, what about when, your wife miscarried and you weren't so tough then? And remember in the boat? And Peter goes, yeah, I remember in the boat. He said, but I didn't get the quote, okay? But this is essentially what Peter said. That storm was for me. That hit me like a brick. That storm, essentially what he said was, that storm was for me to grow my faith. And I thought, wow, I'd done turned in my sermon title. So I didn't have to do any more work. I decided to come over here and tell you all that this morning. See you. That storm was for me. That's not what he said, but it's essentially what he said. It's the way I heard it. And so the point for me was some storms, and then I got to wondering, because there were other storms. There's one that Peter's referencing where Jesus came walking on the water in a storm, and Peter kind of goes, call me out to walk to you. That's the storm Peter was referencing. What if the storms they encountered on the water were storms that were set up on purpose? Not that God would sit there and, you know, with electricity from his fingers, stir the atmosphere and make a storm. But what if they were allowed to form? What if there's a condition in the way God has set the creation up that storms occur, as we might have the meteorologists tell us they do, and that's kind of a really natural thing that they just spin up, and oftentimes they, more times than not, they don't form because something makes them not form. I could point to Hope Mountain, and many of you are shared experience on top of the mountain one day, but I'd rather point to John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, and the experience he had in a storm in 1736. This is his pre-Christian era. John Wesley was a clergyman in the Anglican Church. He was a churchman. He felt strongly that he was called by God to be in mission for God and to convert sinners and convert heathens to the gospel. And so he and his brother Charles took off to the American colonies. They were coming to Savannah for Dr. Oglethorpe and to convert Indians. Well, they were on the way here when they encountered a horrible storm at sea, and the seas were driving the boat mercilessly. And so this storm was gathering in strength, and they were all losing sleep. Nobody could eat breakfast, and it was horrible. But on the ship, too, were a group of Moravian Christians, a group of German Christians who were also on the way to Savannah. And it was this encounter on that boat in this storm that was to shape John Wesley's life forever. A storm, as I said, was beginning to develop. They were becoming more and more aware of that they were going to wind up shipwrecked, because when ship hands tell you, we're going to die, and sailors don't normally say stuff like that, you might be about to die. Well, he couldn't notice the peace of the Moravians as it compared to the fear of the English sailors and other people. In the midst of this brutal storm, he was stricken by the fact that the Moravians were hosting a worship service. And so he went as they were praising God. He wrote in his journal on Sunday, January 25th, 1736, at 7, I went to the Germans. I had long before observed the great seriousness of their behavior. Of their humility, they had given a continual proof by performing those servile offices for the other passengers which none of the English would undertake, for which they desired and would receive no pay, saying it was good for their proud hearts, and that their loving Savior had done more for them. There was now an opportunity of trying whether they were delivered from a spirit of fear, as well as that from anger, pride, and revenge. In the midst of the psalm wherewith their service began, the sea broke over the ship, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the boat, and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans sang calmly on. I asked one of them afterwards, was you not afraid? He answered, I thank God, no. I asked, but were not your children and women afraid? He replied mildly, no, our women and children are not afraid to die. From then I went to their crying, trembling neighbors and pointed out to them the difference in the hour of trial between him that feareth God and him that feareth him not. At 12, the wind fell. This was the most glorious day which I have hitherto seen. Even though John Wesley had been sent as a missionary, he realized he lacked the spiritual comfort and certainty that the Moravians had. This stayed with him for 2 years. So he wrestled with what it meant. It was not until Wednesday, May 24, 1738, back in England, when he went to a meeting at Aldersgate. When there, listening to a preface to the scriptures in Romans, he felt his heart strangely warmed. He had an assurance from God that his sins had been forgiven and that he had been saved. A 2-year journey that began in the hold of a ship in a horrible storm. I just would say to you today, because of what happened and the great awakening that occurred and the 6,000 hymns that were written by the Wesleys and the 250,000 miles ridden on horseback by Wesley himself 10 times around the globe, I don't think it's foolish to stand here and all today and tell you God made that storm. God allowed it. And however it works, God doesn't cause trouble. But he certainly allows trouble at the right moments. It was the reason Wesley was so terrified that he began to realize he was an almost Christian, to use his own words. And there's a sermon you can look up on the internet if you're interested today and maybe you're curious about your own faith. Look up The Almost Christian by John Wesley. It was this storm that began to reveal a storm in his own heart of God's making. On Monday 26th, the next day, he wrote, "We enjoyed the calm today. I can conceive no difference comparable to that between a smooth and a rough sea, except that which is between a mind that has been calmed by the love of God and one that is torn up by the storms of earthly passion." The difference between a mind that is calmed by God and a mind that is torn up by the storms of earthly passion. And so I'm directing your attention today to your own storm, the storm in your own life. Some storms end with the approach of death. Wesley was no stranger to that either. Very much an experiential person. The Methodists were always accused of being too experiential, too excitable. And so Wesley was guilty of that in the way people observed his ministry. But he observed in real life things that caused him to put the Bible to test. He saw that in the sick bed, in the sick room, when someone had been down with a terrible illness. It wasn't like now where we plug up an IV and they go into a painless, morphine-induced kind of rest for days as the body goes through these processes. In those days, a person took to the sick bed and it would be days, weeks of ending. And so people, friends and family would be summoned and travelers would come. And in a slow procession, they'd come through these sick rooms. And over time, Wesley would observe as the preacher present, he would see that these people were forgiving others and they were receiving, asking for and receiving forgiveness from people. They were giving people their parting blessing and they were departing this life with a beauty on their face and a repose that was amazing. He knew it was the peace that passes understanding. He knew that it was the calm, that the presence of God in a person's heart, who's settling accounts with the world, is more now in heaven than in this world. But there's a catch. And with Wesley, there were always these catches. Boy, somebody's stomach is as loud as mine this morning. Listen. Some of the people got well. And they didn't just spring out of bed and take it all back. They didn't say, okay, well, I know I promised you that North 40. These people had reached a place in life, a sanctifying moment in their journey in this life, where they had let it all go, where they were now free to live. These people now, John Wesley considered to be, have been perfected in their love, where fear had been cast out, concern for their life's journey put away. They now lived with a freedom that spoke to him of his experience with, guess who? The Moravians on that ship. And he knew it was something that a Christian can live. For all the people who point and say, you can't be perfect in this life, and there is no perfection, and God can't do that. You're going to sin as long as you breathe, and all this stuff, he knew and could see and witnessed the power of this testimony. The storms in our lives can bring sanctifying moments and the perfecting of our love. And this is our Wesleyan Christian heritage. Yes, we know we'll be victims of our own sinfulness. We know that we will not be above a moment in life where we will not sin. But we're not going to go through the rest of our life claiming that we're still sinners. We're going to say we're going on to perfection. That the work Christ has begun in me is not completed, but it is going to be completed. And it is on the way to that completion. There is a difference that is needed in this world right now, in this moment at Christianity, that we can provide through the Spirit's inclination and direction. As Paul would tell us, to move on from things concerning the cross, to move on to perfection, to issues around our sanctification, that we are kingdom citizens now, and storms come our way to challenge our faith. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Say it to yourself. There is no fear in love. That's scripture. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. When I was a child and believed I could trust my dad to do anything, you know, the older you get, the more you find out they got chinks in their armor. And they might not catch you if you fall, but when you're young enough, you believe they can do anything. And that's the trust Jesus said when he said, you come like a child with faith. My daddy can catch me no matter what. If I fly out the second floor window, my daddy can catch me. And that's it. Perfect love casting out fear. John Wesley said, our extremity is God's opportunity. My extremity is God's opportunity. My weakness is Christ's opportunity for strength. And almost daily, somebody texts, calls, emails me with the latest storm or the news from a storm. We hear of gut-wrenching experiences almost daily in families. And it's never been worse than it is right now. Looking around the room, the only reason I have a right to stand here and say these things is the faith I have that they're true. Not as if I had already attained or somehow know that my faith is perfect. But as a traveler in storms, speaking to those in storms, there's a song in this hymnal. I looked it up. The Lord gave it to me. 125, we don't know it, you can't sing it. I know the song. Knowing You, Jesus. There's words here the Lord gave me right before the service. Second verse, third stanza down there. To possess by faith what I could not earn. I possess by faith things I could never earn. In the midst of your storm, possess trusting faith. This trial does not, as Jesus said of Lazarus, we know Lazarus was dying and would die. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. This storm does not end tragically for me. This storm does not end tragically for my children. God will supply my faith. I told you I was beginning to believe certain storms are allowed to form. A wise person prepares, sees the horizon, listens to the weather forecast, reads and sees the signs, and then reacts accordingly. I can imagine out in the middle of nowhere, on a ship tossing, when one big wave comes. Because the other entries in the journal said every 10 minutes there would be a driving wave that would knock either the stern or the port and cast the ship over. And so just imagine the ship tilting and cupping all that water, and there's nowhere to swim. And that's your life right now. Jesus allowed those storms for me. Jesus allowed those storms so that my faith could grow. The older I get, the more wistful I become, because I can remember being a little boy and wanting just to love everybody and be loved by everybody. And I was just so disappointed not everybody got along. The capacity to believe like a child can be yours again. Even while your storm is going on. Let's take a few minutes and reflect on that. Ask the Lord personally what He has to show you from this message. And let's just reflect for a few minutes.
The altar is open for prayer.